Right, here we go again. We're back with another Weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will go live on Saturday the 10th of June 2023. And it's now a Tuesday night, 7:45. 6th of the 6th. Nice, nice dates, nice timing. 6th of the 6th. Thanks for all kind comments and emails. We'll go through a few of those in a moment before we crack on. The format, again, I'll keep saying it because people do email me about it, believe it or not. Maybe they don't listen to this part, just wind it on. I think I'm not listening to that. Them two binocular nose freaks right at the beginning of this podcast. Anyway, here we go.
That one binocular nose freak.
Yeah. No, you don't talk much at the beginning. It's me. we try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Shows are released on Saturdays, unless we do a live show, which we don't do them very often, but there you go. Members get full podcast. They're normally at least 2 hours long, plus download. And non-members get part one. And all new shows, as I say, are released on Saturday. Podcasts are always available on sheepfarm.co.uk or at sheepfarm.co.uk. If you go to podcasts, you'll see them there. It's quite simple to follow. We also put part one on Podomatic that then distribute them to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, and Apple. The Sheep Farm shop is open. We're going to come up with a few new designs. Delivery times take roughly between 5 to 10 working days, sent by Royal Snail. So, yeah. Well, just another quick announcement about we're coming up to 12 months since we launched this members site. And after a few teething problems and in September, our PayPal problems, which we're going to come to in a minute, it's worked quite well. But we're coming up to 12 months, so people who bought an annual membership, because PayPal turned us off, you won't be able to rejoin annually. When PayPal turned us off, it caused a glitch in the system. You can join monthly or quarterly, but not annually if you go through the process. You might also see a red error box. Just ignore the red error box. And it's a red herring. Basically, you can't rejoin on the same plan as last year.
Red Aaron
because it's an annual thing, obviously, yeah. If you want to rejoin annually, I will physically have to delete your old account so you can start again. Let me know if you want me to do that. Just send us an email at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Don't put a comment on YouTube because I don't read them all. Send an email, please. I noticed there were a couple of comments on YouTube. If I don't read them, you're not going to get to know. On Sunday, the 11th of the 6th, so the day after this goes out, we're on Amish Inquisition's YouTube Live, 11th of the 6th. I think it starts at 8 o'clock, am I right there, Chris?
I think so,
9
yeah.
O'clock?
Yeah. 8 o'clock. Right.
Right.
I think we're on for an hour and then they continue without us.
Yeah, they kick us off after they've had enough of us for an hour. They boot us off. Just filling the boys. Then on the Friday, the 17th, we're on Rise Above Live for a chat with Lance, Andy and Omar and whoever else is there. And then on the 19th of the 6th, much to Chris's fear, we're actually turning up personally. I know, it's pulling the face now. Nostrils are flaring. at New Horizons in St. Hans. That starts at 7 o'clock. I think the admission is pay at the door, which is about £3. So we can... it's really easy to get in. I don't know how many people it holds. I think it holds either 100 or 150. I can't remember. So there are probably two guys and a cat there.
it'll be dead.
Yeah, Chris will be there in corner under a bottle of wine. Yeah. We're also doing a podcast with Mark Devlin as well on the 21st, the summer solstice of June 2023. Well, we're recording it on that day. What we released on that day, but Mark generally ships them out pretty quick, and we're going to be doing a podcast with one of Mark's pals, Matt, who is occultism, dark occultism. He's not a dark occultist, but I'm going to destroy his name now, Matt Sergiu, and he does a lot of research on the Beatles, the occult symbolism of the Beatles in the 60s. And we're going to be talking about the first Summer of Love and the second Summer of Love. And we're all getting a bit giddy at the minute because I reckon Mark's already talking about 2 episodes of this recording, I don't know how many hours. So it's going to be quite interesting, that, actually. And I've just sent an email about Northern Soul as well, because that seemed to spring up out of nowhere. And that were a, an early drug-induced phenomenon as well.
Well, I don't know anything about Northern Soul. When did it? What year did it start?
Well, I think it was late 60s, like 69, 70, heading into the 70s.
Why is it called Northern Soul?
Because predominantly it just happened in the north of England, although it didn't really.
I thought that, but and then I got confused because it's all over.
Well, the story goes that it loads of records in Liverpool Dock, and they just happened to be Soul Records. And these are the stories I heard when I were a kid. There just happened to be these Soul Records that Americans didn't like, so they used them as packing for boxes and stuff like that. And,
somebody found them and started playing.
And then somebody got on a plane and went to America and filled suitcases up and brought them all over. And but they were using, instead of using LSD, which I'm sure they still used, they were more amphetamine-based, speed-based.
Hence the fast dancing.
Hence the fast dancing. Good dancing and all. Fantastic dancing. Interestingly, which I'm sure we'll talk about, Wigan Pier were a massive one there in that era.
And it came back.
Orwell wrote a book about Wigan Pier.
And there was a club when we used to go.
That's right,
Wigan Pier. Shit the bed.
Pendulum swings back.
Was the club literally called Wigan Pier?
Yes.
In the 90s, wasn't it?
I think it were a casino, I think, if I'm right. Yeah.
Strange.
It's not that strange, is it, Chris?
That could be a coincidence.
Well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is a coincidence. The magnetic ether dragging us back. We're live at New Horizons. We're doing that recording with Mark. We're also doing a live event in Huddersfield, a bit closer to me this time. Well, not this time because it's further away for Chris, but
convenient. I have to fucking
Very convenient. sometime in November, though. We're not going to do loads of these. I don't really want to do loads of these. I don't, because I've got enough on. Jonathan Halstead's got a lovely place I went to see in a mill, and I think that holds about 150 on and get 200 in. And he wants to host an event there.
Right.
Now, for me and you know, the event for us, what I'm going to do at New Horizons is we've recently recorded episode 4 and episode 5 of Huxley's Brave New World Order, which is about George Orwell. Yeah. So I've taken the first hour and the second hour of first hour of episode 4 and the second hour of episode 5, and that's what we're going to play at St. Anne's. And my theory is I'm going to do a similar one at Huddersfield, but it'll be maybe a best of Sheep Farm sort of research. But anyway, that's where we're looking.
So I don't actually have to do anything, do I?
Drink. That's all you have to do, Chris. Drink. Right. Drink, fine. Smile, and that's it.
That suits me.
Yeah. That's all you have to do. Drink and smile.
That's all I do anyway.
Yeah, because we're doing the Orwell thing, I've been asked a few times, and I've heard it mentioned about, is Orwell related to Tony Blair? Because he's obviously called Eric Blair. And in a word, no. No, he's not. But there's a caveat on that one. And we're going to go into Orwell's in the third part of Orwell. So we're going to do three parts. It's about at least 6 or 7 hours of 6 hours, I'd say, of Orwell. We're going to go into his genealogy. I'm not going to do Tony. Well, I might do Tony Blair's in there just to show it, but it's certainly not related via his bloodline, because Tony Blair descends through his father's mother. And if you remember it, I don't know if you remember, if you've watched the Tony Blair one that we did, Tony B. Lyer's father was adopted by a man and his wife called Blair. So he didn't actually call Blair, really. So Tony Blair's not really a Blair anyway, from a blood perspective. So his paternal grandmother's line descends to a royal lineage, and her name was Mary Ridgway. That's a married name. Well, her maiden name was Bridson, Bridson. And she's a 12th cousin of our current King Sausage. So Tony Blair is 14th cousin of King Sausage Fingers.
What, blood?
Yes, blood related.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, directly blood related. And his lineage goes all the way back to King James V of Scotland. And it, and King James goes, all Scottish kings are related to Charlemagne. Charlemagne goes back to Troy and the Phoenicians. So there we go.
I've said before, though, fact, doesn't it seem like these families from ancient times and these bloodlines have just started something up, sacked it, moved on, sacked it, moved on.
There all the time, and I think there's different factions arguing. That's why they never quite get the way, because there's different factions arguing toss about who should get what and who owns what.
And like we've said before, you always get the feeling that these bloodlines that run the world, if you like, they argue within each other because their egos must be out of control. We're just the chaff while they. But I also think one they must have their own set of rules. Whereas, I always think about Blade. You remember Blade? Wesley Snipes. Remember all the vampires meeting that thing? And you have like
Probably
a
a
rat. You have
good thought that,
you have a an Oriental vampire. There's a Rastafarian vampire, and you have all these different ones in this room discussing what they're going to do about humans, kind of thing. And if you
Any
remember,
with big nostrils that drink wine.
Stephen Dorff's like the he's like the he's not a pure blood, he's a half blood, but he's become quite
Bit
powerful,
like
and
us.
he's detecting di di sorry di dictating, saying what they should do, and everyone's like, we don't need to listen to him, he's just a half blood. You know, and he kind of takes the reins and tries to wipe out all the old bloodlines, if you like. Actually, more to think about that. Fucking only weird. I didn't actually give it much thought till just then. But yeah, bloody hell. They're all sat around this table discussing that, you know, that he's this like young renegade.
Sounds like the World Economic Forum.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell. And he wipes them all out one by. I think he wipes them
Well,
all out one.
when we get a clean slate,
You know.
I think we should do films, and then trilogies are probably good ones to do, like Blade
Well,
and Matrix and
we're
things
always
like that.
talking about films, and it's probably down to me just being a slack knacker in it to
Yeah,
get that ball,
100%.
get that film ball rolling.
And we all the way on that one.
Matt Landman's asked us a few times. He's met,
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
I'd like to do it with Matt, to be
he's a
fair.
busy he's a busy man, but he knows his films as well.
Yeah.
It'd be actually one where you could maybe take a little
Backstep,
little back step and
backseat.
just a look in, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, a bit like I'd like to look at the background of who these people were, but anyway, there you go. As in the background, not about the film, but who made it, who funded it.
Yeah, because me and my missus watching a bit of the new Planet of the Apes trilogy that they did, which I quite enjoyed. But again, it had that programming in it where, because we brought this up right at the beginning, was
What a
it? I
surprise.
think it came out in 2009. I think we've mentioned this loads of time. 11 years before the nonsense, or I've got it the other way around, but it encoded 9/11 anyway, along with Contagion. It came out the same year as
No,
Contagion.
it didn't. That was the thing. I think that came out in 2009, and Contagion came out in 2011.
Right. Well, yeah, something like that. But they both encoded 9/11, and because I when the nonsense started, I immediately thought of Planet of the Apes because it had that same. It was when I saw in a newspaper, and it had that map with all the little dots coming, lines coming off it, going to different countries when they were trying to find Patient Zero, and that's exactly what they did in an animation in Planet of the
Didn't
Apes. But I don't believe they did, no.
they
But then
find
I was watching. I caught a bit of the second one the other day. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if the dates tie in with the second one and the third one. Because in this one, it was where, you know, everything was overgrown with leaves, like they've done in loads of stuff. And he hazarded a guess that that's where they wanted it to go, or still want it to go. But you do think, and then anyway, then I found out they're bringing out another one next year, which would be interesting. Be interesting to watch them films again, is what I'm trying to say, Fire.
But
You
no,
know,
I agree with you. I
see
agree.
what's encoded in there.
Again, it's like all this stuff. I mean, I emailed Mark earlier on with some stuff, and I just put in, for fuck's sake, this is just never ending, this stuff, right? And he sent one back saying, please tell them to stop. And that is what it's like, isn't it? Because every time you lift a rock up now, you just see something that you didn't see 20 years ago or 10
Actually,
years ago.
I got a message off someone who follows on Instagram, Emma Bridges, and it said this.
Telling people's names again, Chris.
She won't mind. I was watching a
I've got
film
a bank
yesterday
details.
called The Grimsby Brothers, a comedy. Didn't get far before the World Health Organization was mentioned. Viruses in the Ukraine. I said, oh, here we go. My mate said, "Will you?" My mate said, "Will you have a bloody day off with your conspiracy theories and predictive programming?" I just laughed and said, I'll have a day off when these nutters stop running the world. I don't think I'm going to be welcome to film that again.
No.
But you can't watch this stuff now.
It's not that you want a day off. It's like saying I've learned to read English.
Yeah.
And when I look at English words, I can't read anymore. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
You can't not see it or hear it.
Well, it's like the numerology thing, which I mean, I only started looking at about maybe four or five years ago. I think I bought a numerology book, and it's like that. Because I started testing it on the news, even before this nonsense, and you could see it in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, on a very basic level, I know it.
That's like the Matrix that you're seeing, isn't it? All this stuff is like the zeros and ones, as we keep saying.
Mm.
And, yeah. And anyway, shall we move on? You've got a couple of news stories before we go into a few comments, before we get into this stuff.
Well, the one I sent you, I think, you know, about the breast milk one.
All of them.
Well, that one was interesting because recently, and I can't remember where I heard this, they were talking about jibby jabs and people breastfeeding and it putting the stuff into the baby, basically.
Well, Steve Kirsch, I think you were watching.
That was it. It hasn't been a story that's
been out there, but they've probably done some research on it now.
But then just by coincidence...
As in what you were saying now, just clear that up, that the arm spear injected into a pregnant woman then passes not just into the baby while she's pregnant, but while she's breastfeeding the baby as well.
Yeah.
After it's born.
Yeah. And then sure as nuts in the mail, there was an article about you must make sure you breastfeed your babies. I mean, everyone's always like, but then they were saying there's been a test. They've done a survey of 5,000 people. And, you know, again, like the film thing, you read this stuff and you just think, have they? Has that actually happened?
I wonder if like horses and Dobermans and things like that are watching telly and thinking, that's where we're going wrong. We need to breastfeed as pups and foals.
But they were saying in the article that it can be cultural, like due to, you know, your status and stuff, that basically rich people tend to breastfeed than people from poorer housing, whatever. But they said, no, they've done another test now where it proves that your IQ goes up and all this stuff. So what I'm saying is they're encouraging now people to breastfeed.
Interesting. Did they say IQ in the article?
I think they did, actually. I think
because we just did some work on IQ, didn't we?
Yeah.
On Mensa. Yeah. In the last hour.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know if it mentioned that. Yeah. But I don't want to actually... I sent you an...
Just about going on before you move on to another one there, right?
Yeah.
For years, and I'd say the last 10 years, they've been trying to put women off breastfeeding.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah. Yeah. It's only I think the last 10 years-ish, they've kind of gone backwards and forwards, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a flip-flop, the whole breastfeeding thing. But now again, and, they're pushing it.
And now, apparently, trans men can breastfeed.
Well, it's solved then, isn't it? Everyone can do it.
It showed a lovely picture of a guy with an hairy chest with a baby on his left nipple. and then another one who'd making out that he's pumped this white liquid out of his bitch tits, and then he was going to feed it in from a bottle, you know, like a breast pump, feeding it. But he didn't actually say milk; it said milk-like substance.
Puss.
Yeah.
Gunk. Just gunk coming out of his bitch tits. God, it's disgusting.
I mean, whether it was a real baby or not, I don't know, but...
It might not even be a real story fight, man. Because another thing, looking through Mail Online, as I do occasionally, I don't know, I just get the idea these days, some of these stories, they're getting more and more fantastical. They're just getting insane. I mean, some of them are genuinely insane, but just some of them, they look like... I think even that breast milk one I sent you, had spelling mistakes in it. Some of it were... It didn't make sense.
It's AI, isn't it? It has to be.
It has to be. I don't know, is it? Headlines are just gobbledygook sometimes, just like a list of words. Mm. It just seems odd.
Again, look at the journists, Chris. Look at the journalists. I mean, we're going to be talking about that tonight.
Is there any journalists?
Look, whatever they are. I mean, some of the questions Spring were asking Darren, and I even watched that... Tate interview by the BBC as well. Not because I like Andrew Tate, or is he called Andrew? Anyway, whoever he is. I'm more interested in the BBC and the questions we're asking. Now, a lot of people say it's a stitch-up. That to me, it looked quite real. To be honest with you, I don't know who he is. He might be an MI6 agent for all I know.
I don't actually.
I don't
know
really
what he talks
care.
About. I don't really care. I've never listened to him.
I don't know him, and I'm not really that interested. However, the BBC are going out the way. Imagine all the money that they're spending at the moment to try and push this narrative, and all they're making themselves look like is idiots. This is another one where they're actually making the BBC look like fools to crumble, like they are with the NHS, like they are with the prison service, like they are with everything that's got
American
the roads,
presidents.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. American president can't even walk. We've got Rishi Sunak. I mean, come on, he's one of the anti mob.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So go on anyway. You got another story.
Well, no, and then I sent you that one. I mean, I don't want to say I don't know anything, but that story I sent you earlier with that baby who was blind, born blind with bulging eyes. I mean, that story is horrific. I mean, you can't say it's anything to do with the jibber jab or anything, but they say it's a mystery and this has never happened before. But
left
that looks
doctors,
like
left medical experts scratching their head, apparently.
But it looks like something from a horror film. Bless that kid. You know what I mean?
It's, I know.
The kid's got black eyes, black bulging ball marble eyes. Look like a zombie child without being awful. And you know, your heart goes out to the parents and stuff.
Yeah.
But is it because of the jibber jab? I don't know. He can never.
Well,
prove
firstly,
it,
they're not going to tell us what. Firstly, to get it off the mark, they should be saying this lady had one, two, three, or none.
Yeah, it should be
ruled out.
Everything should revolve around that.
Because it's a non-story. Without putting that in, right, it's a non-story because what people are thinking, well, most people, even if it's at the back of the mind, anybody with any sort of common sense are thinking, is it the jab that's caused it?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so.
But they're not either. That's the problem.
Then, again, are we guilty of reading everything into that? So we could be linking everything to it. But personally, I think everything is fucking linked to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong. Who knows?
Well, again, there are only a few things that have happened, i.e. that, the jib-jabs, 5G, that we know of, and CERN's been turned on.
Lockdowns.
And lockdowns, that we know of. They're the things, and CERN's been turned on. They're the things that, any more stories there to go on?
Not really. There was one about another jibber jab, which I think we've talked about before, for cancer prevention.
Right.
And the only thing I found interesting in that little story was you can get one in both arms and both legs at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned this. That's Dr. Mary's monkey.
Mm.
And these are mRNA. But they're mRNA, but they're not gene jabs. It's mRNA, though, but it's not a gene jab.
Again, you've just got this all-encompassing mRNA, whatever it is, and then into pregnancy, into breast milk, into babies.
Certainly stepping the eugenics program
up. I don't know, you just think, what are they creating for in 10 years' time, 5 years?
I'm legend.
Well, 15 years' time when these kids have grown up a little bit. You know,
I'm legend.
What is it? Yeah. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody put a comment in about how quick the Doors. It ties in nicely with that thing that Mike Williams did with the Beatles not being able to write the songs in time. And he picked out the Doors' first album was completed in a month. I mean, that's what they say. It was completed in a month. And the Beatles were the soul hooks. Yeah.
Would hazard a guess that if you've got a band and the first album, that's probably the most thought through album they ever produced because, you know, it's the first thing they've ever done.
Well, generally.
So I don't think they bring it out in a month, would they?
Well, no, I wouldn't have thought so. But even if it's pre-written, you could say they've got a lot more songs because they've written a lot more songs up to that point. Generally, bands find the second album the hardest one to write because they've used all the best songs that they wrote.
Yeah.
However, even if they had all the songs written, recording, if anybody's ever been into a recording studio and worked with a producer, the producers will have you do stuff over and over and over again. So they've got enough material to get it right.
So when you sod off, they can... Yeah.
And if I remember rightly, they actually bought in a special piece of equipment for the Doors, who had never released an album before. I think it cost $10,000. I mean, you're talking in the 60, mid-60s here.
Yeah.
And so that was a big investment to place on a band that nobody had ever heard of before. And it, anyway, yeah. But somebody else didn't like what we'd done. I'm not going to mention any names here. Again, you guys talk about the music side. You're clueless.
Thanks.
That's another compliment. I like compliments. every couple of albums, the Doors style commercially changed completely. So there is no one category of music you can put them in. Really? Right. I just heard that organ all the way through.
Yeah.
I think that is what Ray meant by that when he was having, you know, when at the beginning we played that Ray Manzarek interview when he was on that stage with, and he would, we are the music men. We can give you, yeah, that thing. Ray was a beast on keyboards. I completely agree with you. You guys need to do a little more research, well, a little more, what, out of 24 hours, how much more, before talking about the band. I definitely think Jim was put through the earliest Monarch programs. Well, so we need to do more research, but we actually did say all this stuff. Yeah, but anyway. And Ray was probably his handler. I think we said that, as well. So, but as far as the actual music, Ray was the biggest talent in the Doors. I think we said that as well. He played bass, melody, keyboards. I think I said he was a jazz musician. So yeah. I've no problem with his talent.
He agrees with everything we said.
No, he doesn't. He thinks we're clueless and we need to do more research. However, right? Maybe he's just misheard what we said. I'm being kind there. Reactive, Dom. Anyway, I'll just finish this bit. Ray Manzarek was a jazz musician. He was a jazz musician. He organized jazz shows. I don't think I mentioned this in the thing, at his university. And he was a big jazz fan. His two brothers were musicians. They were in a band. We mentioned that in that podcast. And if you watched it, you'll have seen the band. I forget what it was called now. He was a musician, and he was a singer. He was apparently a really good singer as well. So he was an accomplished musician. He'd come from a musical family. They were taught piano at a young age. He was, as he says, a beast on keyboards. That keyboard is probably the best thing of the Doors. It's what I remember the Doors for. Yeah,
it's what you identifying with in it in every song.
I'm not a Doors fan. I'm no interest in them. However, right?
You
need to do more research and become interested in them. However, that keyboard. But let's face it, he grew an handlebar moustache, grew his hair long before hippies even were a thing. On a secret military base in an military intelligence group that he'd opted out into the whatever it were, a different gang to be retrained.
I don't actually understand what he's having a go at us about that.
No, anyway. I don't either.
He agrees with everything you said.
But all I'm just saying is that, you know, when he's sending this in, pick some. I don't understand. I wouldn't even comment on stuff like this, mate. If it were negative, I wouldn't even comment. I don't know why you bother. But he, like you say, he's agreed with everything we've said. Someone else mentioned about Flat Earth. I know people haven't listened to everything we've done. I don't expect anybody to either. I'm not saying you need to listen. But I think me and Chris have said this on numerous occasions. Flat Earth, Globe Earth, we don't really give a shit, do you?
We don't know, do we? I ain't got a clue.
I think the real answer is, we don't know. Nobody
knows.
Well,
my answer is this. I don't trust anything that NASA tell us. And that's where our version of the round Earth's come from, unfortunately.
Yeah, and probably that's Flat Earth as well.
But that's where our visual perspective of Earth has come from. And it's all lies.
I think it's dangerous to stick your hand in and say, it's flat, it's round. Because the truth, like Chris says, is we don't know which it is. If you were going to push me and say, what do I think it is? I'd go with the bigger Earth theory, where it's neither of the two. And that's why they get away with saying people are mad for thinking it's flat, and flat Earth people think it's round, because water can't stick to a ball and all this type of stuff. Because let's face it, if you've got a giant ball that were a mile wide and started at the top and walked round to the bottom, you'd be upside down. There is no way possible you wouldn't, if you had octopus feet on, right, and you walked all the way to the bottom, you'd be upside down. If you went in an imaginary plane, you'd be upside down. And I'm sure Brian Cox would come up with a fantastic load of equations and some graphs that show that, no, that's not possible, right? But you would be upside down. You'd be upside down. So, however, I think the Flat Earth crater is more of a possibility. But I don't know. That's a theory. And all these are theories. Gravity is a theory. Yet the whole thing about the Earth is based around gravity or a lot of it is, and gravity is a theory. Gravity is not a proven. It's a theory.
I mean,
end of.
Even the beginning of his answer there. Sorry, guys, the world is definitely not flat. You don't know, do you? Nobody knows. One thing I would say is fine. Like you were saying earlier, it's probably neither because, or probably neither of what we're told or think, yeah. Because that's how these psychopaths work. Yeah. Like I was on about aliens the other day. They tell us to look up at aliens coming from up in the sky in the universe. Chances are, if these craft exist and there's some being that we don't know, they probably come from over there to the left or right, yeah. i.e. a larger Earth, or from underground, under the water maybe even. Who knows?
Yeah. So I'm supposed to summarise, right? Round Earth, flat Earth, and even bigger Earth, right? Round Earth and flat Earth, probably psyops, both of them. Because the real truth is probably something else that both of them are included in. And it's the easy way of getting us off.
That's kind of what I just said.
I know you did. I said to summarise what you said. I don't think that you can... what happens if it's somewhere else other than that?
I think we should start pushing nostril Earth.
Yeah, nostril
just
Earth.
Just in a massive nostril.
Yeah, living in a massive nostril, swimming in red wine. And just to go back to the doors... reason I mentioned that email, that message there, was not to give the guy any grief. I understand why people feel like this. Bro talks about it, the emotional connection you have.
I was going to say that. Yeah,
with the music, yeah? And the emotional connection you have with the music makes you bloody angry when you find out. Now, I don't know whether there's a door. He sounds like a Doors fan, in fairness to him. Ray was a beast on keyboards. You know, he was. I agree with you.
Yeah, but then he goes on to talk about the Monarch programming.
Yeah, I know. So it is difficult to shift from liking someone. And Crow were talking about going through them stages where at first you can't believe it and then you hate them. Yeah, and then you come back around after a few years, don't you? But yeah, anyway. I'm not saying this guy has, and I'm not knocking him for it either. But I understand that it does make you bloody angry. I've been there myself. It doesn't make you angry and annoyed when you realise that everything... that you thought were true, that you built your life around, not just music, is bullshit. Mm. That's the problem. And so I think we covered the flat Earth conversation.
Right, but personally, I find the flat Earth thing fascinating.
I do. And the alien thing.
I'm not signing up to anything.
No.
Just find it interesting.
I heard Ed from Outer Light talking about aliens. I think I haven't finished watching it, but he's going to do something about aliens. The last one he's released. And aliens, to me... Do I think there are other entities that walk this world? Yes.
Yeah,
I know they are? No. I haven't a clue. And do I think that? Yeah, I feel that there are other entities that are around. Whether they walk this earth, do I think they come from outer space?
Possibly running the fucking country fair.
Yeah, probably running the country. Do I think they're from outer space? No, I don't think space exists as we've been told it exists. I think we're in a sealed... area, but that's my view. I'm not saying it's true, and I'm not putting my hand. I don't mind being proven wrong either. And that's the reality of it all.
I did read an article today, if I just quickly, it was in the Mail Online, which I like to read, and they were saying that I can't remember. I didn't read it all, but it was saying that the American government have admitted that there were silver balls flying around everywhere, and
yeah,
they've got bodies. Biden's head. So what I'm basically saying is they're pushing the alien narrative again.
Mm.
And I often wonder, especially during the last 3 years, where they've been sending rockets left, right, and centre, Elon Musk
bouncing off glass ceiling,
yeah, sending his sending his sports car up there, and all this stuff. But they've been really going on about the space thing, and we're going to go to the moon to get them. I mean, they went around the moon with some mannequins because they can't do it anymore,
yeah.
And they're going to do it again in a year or so. And now they've got a diverse set of astronauts. Is it heading to the Operation Blue Book, the fake alien invasion? Is it? I mean, it looks like it is. I don't know. But then, what you think if that happened, right? If they said we've gone to space, right, and we've brought back this alien organism, and it's now taken over wherever half of Europe, right, and you can't go there because it's a forbidden zone, Planet of the Apes style.
Yeah.
And you can't go out there, and would it surprise you? And how many people would believe it, do you think?
You'd get in that Planet Apes forbidden zone with those nostrils. They'd accept you. No need to show your passport, sir. Straight in. Join that queue of decommissioned nostrils.
Yeah, it's possibly true. Possibly I was actually true. Telling someone that story about my story about Planet of the Apes today. I think I've told it before. I don't know when you got that Planet of the Apes doll.
Yeah.
And you got the army guy with a machine gun, and I got that fucker with stethoscope.
Oh, the ginger hair.
Yeah. No, not him. I got the other one. Caesar, actually, the main guy. But I was in hospital because I'd nearly died, and my auntie Kath had bought
Yeah,
you.
Why though? Why?
What do you mean, why?
What had you done to nearly die?
Well, I was only 4 or 5 years old.
No, but what had you done?
Took some of Shelley, a mate of mine's pills, dad's pills,
tranquilizers. So you started young, really, didn't you?
Taking drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything.
Anything. I remember it. No, I was thinking.
You got stomach pumped, didn't you, I think?
No. Shelley threw up, and I didn't. Right. And I went to hospital in an ambulance. When I woke up, you stood at the end of my bed with fucking the decent.
Urko.
Urko, is it? Yeah. And I had Caesar. And my auntie Kath had bought you one as well as me because she didn't want to leave you out. And I'm thinking, I couldn't even speak. And I remember thinking, why has that fucker got Urko? I've got fucking Caesar.
So what you're saying is you were bitter and twisted even at 4 year old.
I was angry.
Against your older brother who had come to see you while you were in bed.
Yeah, but why did you have a fucking Planet of the Apes figure? You know what would even happen to you? All you've done is go there in a car.
I were upset because my younger brother were in hospital.
Yeah, sure you were. Yeah, you just stood there with fucking Urko's machine gun and I've got a stethoscope.
I can't remember. I hope going back that she actually gave me that one and I said, I've just swapped them because she didn't have a clue.
I would hazard a guess you swapped the fucking Planet of the Apes figures and probably said something like this. That were always Chris's favourite.
He always likes Caesar.
He always likes Caesar with his stethoscope. I'll have Urko. I'll take that one for the team with his fucking massive machine gun.
Yeah, I'll put it with Urko with machine gun
and his cool helmet and leather jacket.
Yeah, but Caesar looks like Christian, don't you think?
But you look like fucking Urko.
I can actually do a good Planet Apes impression.
Well, you don't need to do much. You're doing it. You're doing it as well.
Yeah, I can actually do a good Planet Apes impression. Yeah. But
if I shave off my moustache, I look like Planet Apes. Got a massive top lip.
Yeah, so have I. It's like Homer Simpson. We've got genetically Homer Simpson's top lip.
Yeah.
That comes from my mum. That's one of Nigerian flash payoffs, I think.
It's not a top lip, just the bit under your nose, between the Cupid bit.
Yeah. Anyway, why are we talking about top lip?
We're talking about Planet Apes.
Talking about shite there, really. But anyway, there you go. We finished last week. We've done 45 minutes and we're already just getting into it. But we finished last week talking about BBC and the misinformation expert, Mariana Spring. But there's a few of them about now. I saw that lady interviewing Stu Peters, who were doing it by Zoom. There was that drip guy there.
That guy
like
Jeremy involved, Corbyn.
Yeah. And these formats all are taking the same shape. BBC have to go. Unlike what they did to Richard D. Hall when they just grandstanded him, where they actually trolled him and accused him of being a troll.
Do you think that's why? Do you think they realised?
I think they realised. The hypocrisy. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy of it all, that they actually did what they were accusing him of.
Mm.
And even though he wasn't doing it, because Richard had either write to these people, email them, or knock on the door and ask them. And if they told him to go away, he never bothered them again.
Mm.
Or he'd leave a card or a number.
That's not trolling.
That's not trolling.
That's like someone turning up here promoting liberal
dragon
Democrats.
Dragon dildos.
Dragon dildos or liberal Democrats and me saying I'm not a liberal Democrat, leave me alone. And they go away.
Yeah.
They haven't trolled me, they've just asked me.
Just asked you, yeah. And this is, what you've just said there sums up because they can call you a troll because we've said you're a troll because we've got £5 billion behind us.
Mm.
So you're a troll. Yeah, we can say you're this because we've got all these newspapers behind us, so you are. It doesn't matter whether you aren't or
where
you
we
are.
Need to start worrying is if it goes far enough and they say, you know, you should go to court or get locked up for being a troll or this, you know.
I don't think it's about that. I think it's about causing as much uncomfort as they can so you stop.
Yeah.
Or so
you're just taken out of society. No one wants to. Yeah.
You know. Richard's doing a good comeback, actually, with his Manchester thing. Go to Richard Dial's website and watch the latest release. Yeah, richplanet.net. He's done a really good release on that, an update on the last Manchester one. I don't care what anybody says. There's a lot of questions there to be asked,
100%.
In my opinion,
100%.
And there's a lot of questions that the government will never answer, just like they didn't on 7/7 or the American government on 9/11 and many others going way, way, way back to the Titanic, probably.
I started watching it, but I was in my shed, so I couldn't really focus. It's quite visual, isn't it? So
yes.
I thought I'd save it for when I can sit and watch it properly.
Yeah, well, he were back to doing what he does, and that's asking questions and coming up with evidence that sort of backs questions. He's not coming to an answer to answers. He's raising these points that need answering. Valid points that need answering, and
which is literally like everything we
yes,
ever, you ever
yeah.
talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. And everything he's ever done, he's a brave guy, and that's why, I know you do respect him. But the BBC jumped on him, and they've not done it with any of these other three that we've seen them do it with. Stu Peters organised interview. Stu Peters filmed it. Which I think they were a bit surprised. I think they was turning thought they were going to turn up to some numpty who didn't know what they were doing.
Well, they
didn't
just realize said that at the beginning. Peters, oh, you're videoing us.
Had more of a film crew there than they did. And when they turned up to the Light magazine, which we'll come into in a minute, they turned up and he was organized. You know, that were a quid pro quo question back and forth answer. And that Andrew Tate one, I mean, I've never seen it. I'm going on about him. I know people will start saying, oh, it's a psyop and it's all this. Anything that the BBC are involved in, it's a psyop, in my opinion. 100%, I agree. I don't know about him because I don't know him, right? I don't know if he's someone who's part of something, someone who's rose up and they've allowed him in and he's seen it and backed out and said, no, I'm going to start talking about it. Because what he was talking about, I have to say, I agreed with most of what he was saying.
To be honest, Fire, I knock that, but I've never actually listened to him say anything.
What he was saying, I actually, you know, anyway. However, I don't know him, so I can only go by what he says. And I know people say it was a total psyop, but again, it's all right. I was watching someone saying everything's a psyop, but that's what they want us to think as well. So we've got to look at
the way I would see it, Fat, is this: if it's on the BBC, right, it either is a psyop or they're trying to drown someone.
100%. Yeah.
One of them two things. Yeah. It's either
But what I'm noticing, Chris, these things aren't going on the BBC. Well, they are, but they're not going on anything mainstream because these people are releasing them on their own channels and they're getting more views than the BBC are getting.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Well, I know that Stu Peters one on the BBC, because I looked for it, was, I think, and I might be wrong, what I saw, it was whittled down to a little piece slagging him off. So I don't think they even released the video.
But what I'm noticing is that people went. She had to. All these, they've had to make an appointment. He's in Romania. Is that Tate geezer? They made an appointment with him. Took a film crew out there to interview him, right? And they released about 8 minutes on BBC apparently, and the actual interview went on for 45 or 40 or whatever. Yeah, right. He released it all.
License fee well spent there.
Oh, very well spent.
Go,
yeah.
Send a full crew over there for 8 minutes.
But the lady that were questioning him was absolutely fuming.
Right.
Right. So, because this guy is organized. Well, again, I don't know. It might be scripted. This guy, like Darren from The Light, like Stu Peters, they were organized. They didn't
whatever you think of these people, they're not stupid people.
You go into a business meeting with these people, Chris. Yeah. That's what it is. If I had to meet with these people, I would be going with answers. Yeah. And I'd be going with a strategy, because you can't. He was just repeating the same thing more or less over and over again, because he said, you're going to edit this, so edit that. He said, everything you're asking, all the questions we're asking him, right? Like Darren did with The Light. He said to her that you're picking snippets out from something 5 years ago and saying, that's who I am. When you haven't listened to the full podcast, like Richard Dior said, have you listened to the full works, or are you just picking something out there that I'm saying one little thing? And that's what they're doing. That ain't journalism. And that person there probably hasn't even done it themselves. They've just got some researcher to do it and write down the questions for them. And they just keep asking these stupid questions like the 5-year-old. Anyway, but let's move on because otherwise we're going to be. Go on, sorry. What did you say?
No, I was going to say, what's your opinion of that? Because I know nothing about that man. And to be honest, I'm kind of more interested now because I didn't look at it because everyone kept going on about it. And I thought, just more bollocks and psyop. What do you think that's about?
If I'm totally honest, I don't know. I mean, people said Darren from Light Magazine, bless him, were a psyop, but you know, but we've been called. I mean,
everybody, yeah.
Mark Devlin's been called shill. I'm sure Richard D. Hall's been called a shit. You know, how is this possible? All these people that are talking about the stuff we are, we're all fucking shills. I struggle with it, right? And also people pick on, just because they don't agree on one little thing that you say. You could do 3 hours of a podcast, as we do, and they'll pick one thing out of that, which is what the BBC do. They pick one thing that they don't like or think they can get you on and go, ha, you need to do more research. And that's a similar process to all these things.
Well,
another thing, Chris, through 2020, people say, nobody famous is coming out and talking about it. Well, he is. He's talking about it. That Tate guy.
What was he talking about? The
jabs being nonsense. All of it.
Oh, really? Was it? Maybe. All right. I didn't know.
Yeah. He's talking about all that stuff, right?
You see, from a layman's perspective of him, the first time I ever heard of him, some young lad at work said, "Have you ever heard of Andrew Tate? He's like a toxic." Da, da, da. So I never looked, to be honest with you. What's interesting is what you just said there, that he was going on about. So he had a following. He had a, but then, and I might be wrong here, right? So he had a following. He was an influencer, if you like, with, you know, loads of young lads following him because he was a MA or whatever fighter and etc. But I didn't know he was an anti jibber jabber, right? I didn't know that till just now, until you just said that. But then they trounced on him for being a toxic male and all that lot. Is that why? Have you just answered the question I asked
earlier?
Well,
I think there's more to it than that. I think some people are allowed in to this secret whatever.
But what I mean is, fine.
Allowed up the ladder, and they go in and they don't like it. They think he's also a bit like Stu Peters talks about. He's saying he's working for God to spread this word.
Right. All right. I didn't know that. I don't know anything.
Now I don't know if it's true, so don't send me daft emails saying I disagree with you and I disagree. There's not to disagree with. I don't know, so you don't have to disagree with it.
It's just interesting.
The interesting part is that the BBC spent probably the best part. A BBC team to Romania, and it looked like there were four people there at least. Yeah,
and then you have that shenanigans. He's accused of sex trafficking and stuff. Yeah. And to be honest, I thought that looked a bit weird, if I'm honest.
Well, apparently one person called Sophie, and I don't know how true this because I've never followed it, called Sophie has accused him, and all them charges have been dropped now because they don't know who she is.
Well, I would say a year or two in from this Tate thing. And now actually for the first time I find it slightly interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, it could all be just something to take your mind off what's really going on, but I don't know. Yeah.
Don't message us about Andrew Tate.
Yeah. I'm not that interested, to be truthful. I'm more interested in, we're talking about the BBC here. We're talking about they're going out of their way to push this narrative, but it's more the questioners. If you watch that lady that's asking the questioners, she hasn't a clue what to do. She's raging. You can tell she's raging, but she doesn't know what to do. She's not getting anywhere because the people they're questioning now, it's not like going back in time. These people are ready for him.
Yeah.
He knew, these people know the shit. You know, Darren from Light knows the shit. If they'd have sat down with Richard Dayall and talked to him, he would have tied him in knots. Tied him in knots.
Didn't give him a chance to talk.
Just jumped on him when he wasn't ready.
With a nice shaky camera just to make it look
Look like he were going to attack him or something like that. And anyway, so the BBC misinformation expert, Mariana Springer-Sprung, I noticed in that Darren interview, she sat with her back to the camera as well. That was an interesting, why would he sit with your back to a camera? I don't know, but surely that's the one thing that you're taught in.
As a trained journalist, You can see both his faces, sure.
Yeah. And you taught in the Tony Blair tap dancing Sammy Davis Jr. School of Avoidance. I saw when she turned her head, when Darren asked her a few questions, I saw flashes of anger in her eyes. You could see,
right.
That, just like that lady that I watched last night, you know, when the interview ended, you could tell she had pure hatred for that man.
They're not used to things not going their way. They're not used to things not going their way, so they can't hide that.
Well, it looked like to me she'd flown all the way to Romania. It was a total waste of time.
Hmm.
She hadn't got what she wanted.
Maybe that was her moment to shine and
capture him, went
tits up.
Yeah. But so, Mariana in conspiracy land. I mean, how hard are they trying? It's in conspiracy land.
Hmm.
Have you actually seen the drawings? Catherine Hamblin, who sends a lot of
drawings for what?
Messages in. Well, the branding for Conspiracy Land, that's what they're calling it, right? It looks like Wonderland, you know, where she's looking down from the inside out, you know?
Yeah.
And Alice had red hair, didn't she?
No, blonde.
Blonde hair, were it?
Yeah.
Well, that's got me got that wrong. Anyway, but the branding for this program is Mariana Spring looking down a supposed like rabbit hole.
Well, I suppose the rabbit hole is what conspiracy theorists say. I'm gone down that rabbit hole. So that I mean, to be fair, that is us. That goes back to the Matrix as well. Follow the white rabbit. So there is that. But I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. Alice in Wonderland also is paralleled with MK Ultra and symbology from it.
Yeah, exactly. Spring said she's excited about the launch of BBC Verify, bringing together expertise in disinformation, open source, and analysis. We mentioned this last time. I'm just going to go through it again.
Yeah.
I'll keep investigating harm caused by disinformation, conspiracy movements, trolling, and all things social media.
Right. So are we supposed to look at the fact that they pushed the arms bears on everyone for 2 years? And they've damaged people. Does that count?
Not if BBC say they haven't damaged anybody. No, they admit to damaging people, but only a couple of people.
Yeah,
just a couple of people. That's all they've damaged. They're not asking any questions why AstraZeneca weapons that killed Jibidri Jab
took the fucking thing off the shelves within 6 months.
It was more than 6 months, but yeah, they took the thing off the shelves.
Yeah,
it's irrelevant when it could be in 18 months. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that wasn't even news. And weirdly. Yeah.
Weird, that, isn't it? Strange.
Gonna fact check that, Mariana? No.
No. Oh, she'll fact check it because that's not the truth.
Right. Yeah. So
he can pile up a load of facts.
Yeah. It didn't come off the shelves. It was taken off the shelves because of other reasons.
Yes.
Whatever there might be.
Other reasons. We had to put Barbie dolls on those shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah. The BBC, as we know, is a £5 billion operation. And as we know, it's used for propaganda against its own people. Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, Mockingbird, all used the similar sort of processes. And I would say that these people, and I were going to go into some detail about, I saw some stuff on a blog site called Grey Zone. If anybody wants to go and have a look at Grey Zone, they do some good work. And they showed the links that some of the people at Mariana's had on Panorama and her shows, the links to an organization that's called Institute for Strategic Dialogue.
Doesn't sound sinister at all.
At all, no. The Institute for Strategic Dialogue was started and founded in 2006 by a lady called Sasha Havlicek and George Weidenfeld.
In fact, you missed the best bit out there. Institute of Strategic Dialogue is a think tank.
Oh, sorry, it's a think tank. It's an NGO. It's a charity.
Is it a charity?
It is a charity.
Think tank charity.
Think tank charity. That specializes in research and policy advice on hate, extremism, and disinformation. And it's headquartered in London, the UK. Aren't we lucky? Now, George Weidenfeld, or Baron Weidenfeld,
nice.
He's now passed away. He was a British publisher, philanthropist, a newspaper columnist, and a lifelong Zionist. That's another thing. These people here, right, they came up with, if people were searching on the internet, or reading this, I don't, what it, anyway, the, if the, if they were looking for people who were anti-Semitic, right? If somebody were typing in globalist, banker, and things like this, that would then constitute that person searching that as anti-Semitic.
Right. So defamation league could go after him.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of this guy. He looks like a fucking Sith Lord.
Yeah. He looks like Schwab Mark II.
Well, the older Schwab just need to throw a hood over him and he's the Emperor from Star Wars.
He began working with the monitoring service of the British Broadcasting Corporation. Just look him up. Go to his Wikipedia page. It tells you what he is. To me, he's he came over from Germany during World War II. He was friends and came into contact with General de Gaulle and Tito, and he was political advisor and friend of the first president of Israel, Chaim Weizmann. I would say he's probably nailed on as a security operator. And he's also a Bilderberger, this guy. So these are the people who are working with our friend Mariana Spring, the type of organization. And that organization, what did I say it were called? Institute for Strategic Dialogue.
Strategic Dialogue.
So the funding partners for this company, it has an operating budget of just short of 50 million a year to throw around.
Right.
Charity, 50 yeah. million a year think to gather data, Chris. That's what it does. It gathers data.
He's thinking and it sits tanking.
On committees, UK Home Affairs, so UK Committee on Foreign Affairs, US Committee on House Administration, Radicalisation Awareness Network, et cetera, et cetera. This ISD is sitting on the Google Impact Challenge on Safety, Online Civil Courage Initiative. So they're pushing out all these, the far-right extremism in Europe. So they're funded by Google, Microsoft, Meta, Facebook, Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism, whoever that is. Never looked at them. It's another Google, YouTube corporation. It's not even a corporation. It's just another NGO. I mean, nobody's ever heard of these places. The British Council fund it. Open Society, which is George Soros. Omidyar Networks, which funds a lot of things. Bill and Melinda Gates found it.
No.
I could go on and on. These are the people. So it's the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, if you want to go and have a look at that.
What a title, love. Institute for Strategic Dialogue.
Well, that could be written in 60s USSR, or it could be Social Democrats writing in 1938, couldn't it?
So a club of how we want you to discuss things.
Yes.
As a layman's term.
Yeah.
Good God.
And nobody's ever heard of these. And it's got a budget of 7 million, but it's got a funding of 50 million, I read. But I mean, they've got, I forget how many people they've got working for them, but it's enough anyway. There's a lot of people work there. And these are just hidden agents, if you ask me. And I'm not saying they work for MI6. They probably don't know. They probably believe in what they're doing. I've got a lot of grief on that one as well. That these people, I don't think they're all MI6 agents. Mockingbird wasn't set up like that. Mockingbird was set up where most of the people didn't even know they were being controlled. Weren't even got into it yet. I found this and I thought, right, that's a show on its own. Because I started going down rabbit holes with that. Anyway, we came across some work earlier on when we were recording the last part of, well, not the last part, the last one we did of Brave New World Order with George Orwell, which dipped into the gurus in India who were working with the KGB. We mentioned in the second Twilight Language that the gurus came from prominent families. They weren't like these people that just come along and been turned into these godlike people. And the guru that was the guru for the Beatles, Maharishi Manesh, was also working with our friend Yuri Bezmenov of KGB. And when we do the next one, you'll see some pictures of them sat together. And then around the same time, they were sat with the Beatles as well. So, but Yuri Bezmenov talks about four stages of ideological subversion. Demoralization, and I'm equating this to the BBC. Demoralization, educate an entire generation in Marxist ideology. Again, we said this in that last recording we've just done. Take away Marxist and just leave ideology, and you could put any word in there you wanted to. And we've already gone through that. We're going through that constantly. Look at the young people now with the LGBT stuff, demoralizing them.
The
now,
oil thing.
A trans man can breastfeed a baby and with what was it? Milk,
white liquid coming out.
White liquid that looked like milk. Yeah. Destabilization via the economy, foreign relations, and defense systems. I mean, all of that, these first two are true. Crisis, violent change of power. I think we saw that in 2020. Structure and economy. The economy now has been canned. The structure of society has been destroyed. We've seen the breakdown of society as we knew it. And then normalization, a period of stability where you can hear them birds tweeting.
Like I think we said in the Huxley thing, fire. There's also microcosms of this within the bigger picture of everything.
You could basically drill down on each of those things and go into more granular detail. And he said them. I think. Well, he was trained on that, so he didn't say that in the '80s. He's actually.
Do you think old Yuri was? He won't. He's not well known enough to be out there for everyone to see, is it? To be fair,
it doesn't matter though, does it? Is he put out there to? Is it the revelation of method? Is that what that is? Is he just telling? Is he being put out there to tell everybody? And he thinks again, like a Mockingbird agent, he thinks he's escaped and run away to Canada and America, and he's actually doing what the higher up bloodline Prometheus bloadline want him to do anyway.
So he's sat there going,
which is tell everybody. Because if I went and told my neighbours that. They probably wouldn't talk to me.
Well, to be fair, they wouldn't even. They just glaze over fire. No one would even. I've quoted that. What is it?
The concentration camp one.
People, no one's interested.
No one's interested. No, no, they're not.
More worried about fucking Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
Whoever is. Yeah. Anyway.
So we've done an hour there, so we've come to an end at first hour there. So you're going to have to join us in the second hour if you want to continue. So thanks for joining us in this hour. It is a mad world out there, a clown world.
it's very amusing, very interesting.
It is.
A tiny bit scary.
they are collapsing the system. We're going to get offered the Faustian bargain at some point financially, I'm sure. Do you want this for that? And a lot of people will be in no position to refuse it. That's what they're hoping. They're hoping to getting people into a position where they've got no choice but to accept what they're going to offer them. Just like the jab.
I don't think so. I think people who are listening to this won't take any...
All right, I'll run a scenario, right? Run a scenario. They know people with children will do anything to protect the children. If people have got mortgages and loans out and all of a sudden they can't afford to pay them back, and they offer them, we'll wipe all them debts, but you've got to take this.
Right.
We're not talking about people listening who will fight it. We're talking about all these people that just lined up for an arm spear and you saw them in supermarket with a mask on. They're going to line up and they're going to say, well, do you know what? It's been difficult, so let's just do it.
Yeah,
sadly, that is what's going to happen. And
or
the rest
is it
of
going
us
to be a UFO is going to come down in Operation Blue Book and you must kneel to your master? fucking zap
you must kneel to Rishi Sunak. I don't need to. If I kneel, I'll still be taller than him. Being pygmy. Big eared pygmy and all. flushed away pygmy. All right, then, we'll see you if you're joining us in part two. If not, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I will grow old, then I'll